Warning, the couple and the yacht gone.
And the first ever Ryan Rodeo is going to take place in Austin, Texas this afternoon. People named Ryan from all over the country are expected to congregate with one goal: break the Guinness World Record for the largest same-name gathering. That record currently held by the Ivans. 2,325 Ivans got together in Bosnia. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vincent.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Or Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, low 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy. It'll be breezy today and tonight. For your Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 52. Downright warm with highs in the mid-60s for your Monday. Winds will gust to around 40 miles per hour out of the south.
It's 39 at our studios.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, hello, Wisconsin. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We are here every week. Talk about keeping Wisconsin moving forward. And folks, on Monday, February 19th, 2024, the Democratic Party and Governor Tony Evers delivered a promise that they've been making for years to have fair maps finally in the state of Wisconsin. And I thought there was not a better person other than the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin to talk about these new maps, Ben Wickler. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Hello, Mark. It's great to be with you and with your listeners on this historic day. We have been a state where democracy was in chains, where we did not have anything approaching a legitimate representative form of government in our state until today. Because of the tireless work of people all over the state, of so many of your listeners right now, to not only, you know, vote against Scott Walker and for Governor Evers, for Democrats in the state legislature, but also in Supreme Court race after Supreme Court race and rising up against their impeachment threats. We reached this moment where we had a pro-democracy state Supreme Court that believed in our Constitution, and they determined that our state legislative maps were unconstitutional. They struck them down. And now today, Governor Evers signed new maps into law. And the will of the people has, for the first time in a long time, the opportunity to become the law of the land. It is very, very exciting, and it's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal. And I know that you've been thinking about this day for many, many years. How long have you been the chair now of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
I was elected chair in June of 2019. So I volunteered a whole bunch on the governor's race in 2018, and you know, for Tammy Baldwin and folks running for state legislature, ran for chair in 2019, and was elected that summer. So I was here through the Supreme Court race when Jill Karofsky won during that pandemic election, which we remember very, very painfully. I was here when we defeated Biden in 2020 and became the tipping point state. I was here when we elected Jill Underlie.
You know, you need to say that again. When you defeated, I think you meant.
Thank you. We defeated Donald Trump.
I know. You sounded like a fake elector there for a minute.
No, we elected Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and we defeated Donald Trump. And Wisconsin was the state that put Joe Biden over the top. So it was a key moment. And, you know, we just saw this Wisconsin fake elector on national news on 60 Minutes last night, someone I know well from when we were both chairs of the state parties. But I was a real elector, and I got to go into the Capitol with my head held high and sign legitimate legal documents that went to the actual elector counting process and helped ensure that Joe Biden would succeed Donald Trump as the president of the United States.
Yeah, step by step. I do want to come back to the mad hit fake elector and the 60 minute show and some of that. I think you can bring a lot to the table on that, but I really want to sort of right up front talk about, you know, for 5 years you've been there at the rudder and doing a great job of moving Wisconsin, you know, we're a purple state, making it a bluer purple and fighting the, you know, the mega craziness. You've thought a long time now what it would mean to have fair maps. But as a practical matter, what are the immediate tasks ahead?
So the thing that happens right now is a huge push on candidate recruitment. We need to fill the ballot. We need candidates running in every one of the 99 assembly districts and in every one of the Senate districts that are up. It's not all 33 because only half are up each election cycle. But we want to make sure that every voter has a choice. And this cycle, the number of voters for whom that choice is real, where their votes could actually tip the majority, it's tripled. The number of competitive seats has tripled compared to the previous maps. So these candidates, it's not just people willing to put their name on the ballot. It's people who are ready to actually go to work. And, you know, most cycles, most candidates meet this description. They're ready to upend their lives to fight for democracy and what they believe in. That's what this moment calls for. We've got to get candidates ready to take out papers on April 15th, and then they've got to collect signatures and turn them in by June 2nd. When that moment happens, some places might have a primary. The primary is August 13th. And then we're running through the tape. I mean, we have a ton of work to do all through this spring, this summer, this fall. The thing that these candidates can do, and that the volunteers and the kitchen cabinet members and the friends and family, that everyone can do in this moment, is not just potentially win seats, and not even just potentially end Robin Voss's speakership and change the fundamental dynamics of Wisconsin politics. You can also inspire voters who've given up on the possibility of change, make a case to them, a credible, real case that it is worth casting a ballot in this moment. And by doing that, help to reelect Tammy Baldwin, help to defeat Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile, and help to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and throw out Donald Trump as he attempts to retake over the White House. Your votes in this moment can affect every single level of government in a way that few voters ever have the opportunity to do, and not just play defense, but actually go on offense and make positive change. What an extraordinary privilege in this moment to be able to do that. And it's only because of the work that's been done year over year that we've reached this moment.
So, you know, in many ways, the tasks ahead and for you, it's like you're, you know, not to overload you, but your backpack just got bigger and heavier.
Might think, I mean, in one sense, yes. In the other sense, the team that's hiking together just got bigger. So there's more people who could all help carry each other. Like there's a lot more people on the road now, and it feels awful good.
Yeah, I agree. If we all need to get the boat and row the same way all together. And, you know, there is hope. And I say that, I look at my grandkids and what does that mean to them, right? The oldest is 13, because this is really a generational change time. Maybe not at the top of the ticket nationally, right? But, you know, for the state, it really is a generational opportunity. How do you see women and young people participating? Do you see that we're going to have more younger candidates, more diverse candidates?
Absolutely. I mean, let's start with the legislative leaders, Greta Neubauer and Dianne Hesselbein. This has been a state right now at this very moment when you have two, you know, older white guys running the two state legislative chambers, Devin Lemieux and Robin Voss. And the possibility exists that over this election cycle and the next one, they will be supplanted by two dynamic women leaders who are substantially younger than the guys that they'll be defeating. And you know, Greta Neubauer, I think, is a great example of someone who was an activist and was looking for the ways that she could make the biggest change in the world and decided to move home and run for the state legislature. And now she's leading the charge. And Dianne Hesselbein has deep, deep roots. She and I have been talking about, we're like 100 years later than these big bang moments in the progressive movement. She's so deeply rooted in the progressive tradition of the state and yet represents this very fresh voice. They're recruiting candidates of color, young people, candidates representing all these different communities around the state that have not had a chance to actually flip seats and serve in the state legislature. And even if they did, there's not been a Democratic chair of a single committee in our state legislature since 2011. There's been a total shutout. Because Republicans have had the majority, there's been no opportunity for any Democrat to control the agenda for a state legislative committee meeting or decide what reaches the floor and what actually gets a vote. All of that is about to change. And it means that more different people with more different ideas representing a broader swath of the state's electorate are actually going to have a voice in the way that power moves in the state of Wisconsin. And what happens here doesn't just stay here. We're the tipping point state for the entire country. So this shift, this generational shift, this really kind of new birth of hope and democracy in Wisconsin, it's going to ripple out across the whole country. And that is something that it's just spectacularly exciting. I've been getting a million text messages and calls all day from people across the country watching this. And I hope that folks in other states are paying attention and realizing what's possible. If you fight every single fight, what's possible at the other end of it is a profound shift and a reawakening of the possibilities of our democracy.
I can't miss that reference to millions of emails. I hope all those millions of emails are sending you dollars, millions of dollars, to help us get through this this battle. Because the fact that we have new maps, my assumption is it's going to also amp up the mega Republicans on the other side in terms of how important Wisconsin is and how important the state government is as well. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. And you can see it right now in right-wing media. If you look at right-wing websites or listen to right-wing talk radio hosts, you know, they're afraid of democracy. They're afraid of what democracy might do to the ways that they've tried to thwart democracy. So Wisconsin's already the central state in the presidential election. It's why the Republicans put their national convention here. It's why Donald Trump, when he came time to hire his top strategist, he hired the guy who ran Ron Johnson's race, Chris LaCivita. They have a Wisconsin strategy that is central to their plan to get back into power in the White House. We are key to the Republicans' goal of flipping the state, the U.S. Senate majority. Tammy Baldwin is one of the top five Senate races in the country. And then in the House, we've got two key House seats. But what happens if we win the legislature is that Republicans might have to face a set of state laws that restores voter access, that ensures that workers can have a voice in their own workplaces. These are the kinds of things that they've used to stomp out democracy. But now all those are on the table, and you can bet MAGA will fight with all it's got to try to stop this from happening.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, and we're talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artist. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, located in the heart of purple Wisconsin, Waukesha County. I'm honored to have with me the head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, and we're talking about the historical significance of the governor's decision to sign the legislation that put his maps in play in 2024, and what that means to, like, liberating democracy in the state of Wisconsin. Before we get into more of aspects in terms of where does this take us, there were letters that were sent by the governor to keep certain issues open before the court. because we do have some special elections between now and November. For folks, if you didn't know that the Republican bill started the new maps in the November 2024 election, the Supreme Court had ruled that the current maps are unconstitutional, and what is left open that the court will have to decide is what maps are going to govern these special elections. How do you see that aspect playing out? I mean, we know that Senator Lena Taylor is now a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge. That seat is open. I read the letter from the senators. They think one or two others may be. How does that come into play?
So it's pretty clear. The old maps are gone. They're no longer law. The new maps are the law in the state. The last ones were enjoined. They were struck down by the state Supreme Court as unconstitutional. So they're not in effect. And when we, I think everyone collectively saw this part of the law that Republicans had passed through that included the language that the new maps don't take effect until the fall, it turns out the Legislative Reference Bureau makes a practice of appending that to every new redistricting bill, and it made it into this one. So the governors asked the state Supreme Court to clarify. I have every confidence that they will, but why wouldn't they? And what that means in practice is that, for example, in Lena Taylor's special election, or if there's a recall of Robin Voss, those things would take place on the new maps, not the old maps. It's as simple as that. I don't know if Republicans are going to try to, you know, somehow wave a magic wand to get the unconstitutional maps restored, but I can't see any way that that could actually work. This is the new reality. The Republican gerrymander of their dreams, it actually didn't meet the standards of our Constitution, and it is no longer in effect. And every minute we go forward from today on, we're a little bit more free. We live in something more closely resembling a democracy than we did before. And I shouldn't say a little, a lot. Being able to vote and have your vote potentially decide who makes decisions in government, that is how a Republican form of government is supposed to work. That's what's in the U.S. Constitution. Every state's supposed to have it. We kind of didn't in Wisconsin for a while, and now we do.
Yeah, it was more than a while. A long, long time, right?
I mean, my oldest kid is 12. I have spent a lot of time explaining to Mac what gerrymandering means. Unfortunately, you couldn't understand Wisconsin government unless you understood gerrymandering. Exactly. And now my two younger kids, they're not going to have those lessons, is my hope, because this is done and dusted.
So how do you see these new maps? How does this provide the Democratic Party of Wisconsin an opportunity to get out into rural Wisconsin in a way that we can address the mega craziness out there? I mean, you read every day, it's like, there's this view that somehow the Democratic Party doesn't consider rural issues, not concerned about rural issues. How does this allow us to get there?
It's preposterous. Those allegations are preposterous. But what Republicans have done is draw maps that ensured that even when there were majorities of Democrats in rural areas, those folks couldn't actually elect anyone to represent them. So that ends now. And you can go to Central Wisconsin, go to Wausau. There's a lot of Democrats there. They'd love to vote for a Democrat in the state legislature. Now they actually have a chance to do it in the 85th district. Go to De Pere, go to Ashwaubenon, go to Chippewa Falls. These are all areas where there are now really competitive state legislative seats. And there are Democrats who are fired up and ready to organize. And what strikes me about Republicans' claims that it's never been about gerrymandering is that they fought tooth and claw to avoid this moment from ever coming. They're actually going to have to run on their ideas now and their record. They'll probably run from their record, not on their record. But they're going to have to answer to voters why they voted for an abortion ban just this summer. Just this winter, they voted for an abortion ban. Why they voted to try to get guns into schools. Why they've done vote after vote to represent the mega extreme right to undermine our democracy, to take away people's basic freedoms, and never to deliver for working people across the state of Wisconsin. All those things will be on the table now. They've been running just in Republican primaries. Who could leapfrog further to the right? Well, guess what? Most people don't live on the MAGA far-right extremist fringe in this state. This is a state of common sense and decency. And you can see that in our statewide elected officials like Tammy Baldwin and Governor Evers. Now we're going to see it in the state legislature, too.
You know, you would touched on the fact that the fake elector, Mr. Hitt, was on 60 Minutes recently, and he was talking about how he feared for his safety. And that's what made him play along in this conspiracy to send these fake electors to D.C. as part of what they've admitted was a plan to undermine the 2020 election. As you said, you were an illegit elector. To me, the fact that the fake electors have come out and admitted that Joe Biden legitimately is the president of the United States is a big, big deal, because they were the biggest election liars or, you know, spreaders of the conspiracy around. In 10 seconds, what do we learn from that?
We learn that you can't outrun reality for too long. There's accountability here, and the public is going to see and hear and be reminded that there was a plot to overthrow our constitutional democracy in this country. There were human beings in our own communities who took part in that plot, and we can never allow a plot like that to succeed again. This election will determine the future of democracy in this country, and we're going to make that absolutely clear to everyone as they cast their ballots this November.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. Thank you, Ben Wickler. Thank you for carrying the load forward on Wisconsin.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Alexei Navalny's spokeswoman said Russian authorities have finally given the opposition leader's body to his mother. The government had refused to hand over Navalny's body unless his family accepted a secret burial, something his mother has refused to agree to. In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky making a solemn anniversary through a translator.
On the second anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion, we yet again prove that despite all the difficulties and challenges, Ukraine will become only stronger and will always be together with its partners in the free world.
The South Carolina Republican primary is underway, and while Nikki Haley is polling more than two dozen points behind former President Trump, Charleston voter Ken Cromer says he's supporting Haley. Why?
She's not Donald Trump, and she's not a Democrat.
An Israeli source tells ABC News that Israel has agreed to an updated framework for a ceasefire in Gaza and hostage deal. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks' first game after the All-Star break was just what the doctor ordered. The Bucks with a 112-107 win in Minnesota. Giannis with 33 points. Lillard with 21. Malik Beasley with 14 in the second half. Milwaukee dominated the third quarter but looked tired at the end, head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, one thing you can see with our team, I don't know if there's any place to do it, but you can see conditioning because they're playing hard. They were gassed. There were a bunch of guys gassed on our team for sure. And that's what happens when you play hard defense and hard offense. So we're going to have to try to condition in games, you know, to get that, because we have to get used to playing that way for 48 minutes.
In New Orleans, a fourth quarter fight left four players ejected from the game, including Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat went on to win 106-95 over the Pelicans. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, low 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy. It'll be breezy today and tonight. For your Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 52. Downright warm with highs in the mid-60s for your Monday. Winds will gust to around 40 miles per hour out of the south.
It's 39 at our studios.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by black actors. The first black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I am delighted to have with me Matt Moreno, who is the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. And we are here to talk about the significance of the new maps and how that's going to play out in Waukesha, in the middle of our state. And folks, as you know, Waukesha will probably be central, if not key, to the November elections statewide. It has the largest group of Democratic voters out of Dane County and Milwaukee County, in a county that historically was red or purple, and now it's, you know, it's a purple, and it's, you know, last time around, Waukesha itself was blue, right?
Yeah, City of Waukesha voted blue for Judge Janet, or Justice Janet now, we can say.
Yeah. So it's a big, big deal. So how do you see this historic fact that we have the Republicans sent Tony Evers, our governor, his maps, and he signed them?
Yeah, I mean, this is massive. For the first time in, you know, a decade plus, we have fair maps in Wisconsin. That's a massive win. And for the voters in, you know, Brookfield and Waukesha and Menominee Falls, for the first time in a very long time, they are going to have a chance to hold their elected leaders accountable and, you know, get honest debates on issues and not basically just have two of the most extremist folks or more running in a Republican primary to see who's going to represent in a district that is completely unwinnable. Now, you know, obviously, the maps still are not great for a lot of the county because a lot of the county is still, you know, trailing that 40% or lower percentage. But with the governor's maps, we do have two districts that are absolutely in play, and we are very excited to hold two very conservative, very out-of-touch Republicans accountable.
So let's focus in a little bit on who those out-of-touch MAGA Republicans are. And then let's share with the listeners, what is it in terms of an opportunity to get involved?
Absolutely. So let's start off in Brookfield, kind of work our way back toward the city where we're sitting currently. Out in Brookfield, we know we elected, over the last few years, we elected Sarah Rodriguez, our now lieutenant governor, started off in the state assembly, and we elected Robin Vining. And then when the Republicans gerrymandered their maps again to kick out those two seats and to make it even a safer Republican seat than it was before, they elected a very out-of-touch Republican named Tom Mikulski. And he has represented Brookfield and Elm Grove in an unwinnable district that was over 25-plus points Republican for a community that is trending Democratic. And he got redistricted into Robin Vining's seat. So him and Robin Vining are going to be squaring off in November, and we are very excited to have a proven leader who is fighting for the issues important to young families like her own and Robin Vining against an out-of-touch, older man who doesn't represent the changing demographics of Brookfield and Elm Grove. And then we come back to the city, and we have...
Well, let's, before we jump to the city, that we're talking about the 13th.
Yep, and the 13th, right? Yep, that's Brookfield, Elm Grove.
So what do you think the key issues are going to be there?
Yeah, I mean, we look at Brookfield and Elm Grove, we look at those communities as well as the other parts of the 13th that are out covering parts of Wauwatosa, and we look at the changes. There's growing dramatically younger as young families are moving in, and the biggest issues they're facing is the same issues that are facing young families all across Wisconsin: affordable housing, affordable childcare, reproductive rights, and the rights to decide to how to start their family when they want to start their family, and not being driven and dictated by a government that decides when a family should start or who should be in the medical room deciding those things. And then just what their friends and neighbors can be like. They want a place that's welcoming to their friends and neighbors. They want a place that's open for LGBT couples to move to. They don't want communities that are pushing people away. And that also boils down to school board issues and issues we see in the local, things like book bans and the radicalization of school boards that folks like Tom Murkowski has helped fund. Candidates like that. So all of these issues around young families are going to be key and central with Robin Vining's reign, and we look forward to supporting her and, you know, taking that seat back.
How do you see reproductive rights and the whole abortion issue playing in this race coming up?
Look, I mean, we know Donald Trump's and the Republicans' agenda is to push through a national abortion ban. So right now we have Tony Evers, we have Josh Collin, we have a liberal-leaning Supreme Court that is protecting Wisconsinites. But we know that if Donald Trump gets into the White House, he has already said privately, and he will say publicly before long, that he's going to be pushing for a 16-week abortion ban at minimum. And so for us, it's going to be making sure that all voters all across the political spectrum know that Donald Trump and the Republicans he support are gearing up to take away women's rights at a national level, so no one will be able to stop that.
Now, you'd mentioned there were another district, District 82.
District we're currently sitting in, actually. So here in the heart of Waukesha, the 82nd Assembly District, currently represented by Mr. Out of Touch himself, Scott Allen, who is, I would love to debate and see if he's the most conservative member in the Wisconsin State Assembly, which is really saying something when you have some of those guys up there. But Scott Allen has been in a gerrymandered safe seat for a very long time. He has not really faced a true opposition. He's avoided debates. He's avoided, you know, holding accountability with voters. And for the first time, we are putting in a district that, while not a 50-50 toss-up, certainly closer than we've had. And we think with to one of the two great candidates that we already have announced for the district, that we are going to be in a great spot to really draw a contrast between what Scott Allen is doing for Waukesha and what a Democrat could do for the Waukesha.
Who do you see running?
As of right now, we have two declared candidates in the 82nd. We have Kevin Riley, who a lot of you guys may know as Mayor Sean Riley's brother, and Megan Locke, a great single mom who lives in the northern part of the district, who's fantastic. And both these Democrats are committed to a great campaign where they elevate each other, they elevate the issues the Democrats are fighting for, and have already pledged to support each other outside the primary. So we are very excited that we are on a great pace to focus on Scott Allen.
When was the last time we had a healthy primary?
In Waukesha County?
In Waukesha.
I before I got involved over a decade plus ago, we've not really, it's been much more like dragging someone to run in a district. Because, you know, you think of it this way. If you are a person who has any sort of desire to serve your community, and you get a call from me asking you to run in a district that's, you know, 45 to 50 points Republican, it kind of makes it harder to be like, you know, I'm going to run for school board after, you know, losing my first race by, you know, 75-25. So when you have fair maps, you're going to be drawing people in who want to serve their community, but also want to make sure that they're doing it in a way that's actually plausible to win. And I think having these fair maps does help with that, because you're going to start getting the best of the best folks running, because now they're going to be truly vetted by voters and not just by a very small piece of a very extreme Republican Party.
You know, I think folks knew when the Supreme Court struck down the old maps as unconstitutional that we would have new maps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody foresaw the fact that the Republicans were going to give the governor his maps. I think there are people that think that they were hoping those maps were better for them than, you know, the court's experts.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been thinking about the fact that we're going to have new maps.
Yep.
So how have you sensed at the street level in terms of enthusiasm or hope amongst people? I mean,
I've held more one-on-one calls and introduction calls with candidates or potential candidates who are interested in the last 3 months that I've probably had in the last 3 years. Because with new maps on the ground that we are tentatively looking at, you know, today we have, actually we know we're working with, before it was just a lot of curiosity. But there's a lot of folks, a lot of great folks, community leaders, current elected representatives at the local level who are eyeing a future run in the state house because they know what's possible. So there's a lot of interest gearing up and a lot of fired up folks who are looking to run.
How do you see this new excitement in terms of fundraising?
You know, it's going to bring in more fundraising. Absolutely. Because people are excited. You know, it's hard to make a call to someone and say, hey, I need X number of dollars to do this thing. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, what's the percentage of chance of winning? You're like, well, you know, it's not great. It's hard to justify that return on investment. But now when I call donors and I'm like, hey, here's what we're looking at. This seat's 50-50. This seat's 45-55. A little money can go a long way. Much easier to show them a return on that investment than justifying them sending it to Joe Biden or Tammy Baldwin or to up north or Milwaukee or Madison, where we have other districts that are maybe a bit closer. We can keep that money right here in the county now.
So the other thing I'm thinking about, how does it help you in terms of coalition building? It seems like if you're on the verge where progressives can actually win seats, how does that play in terms of broader coalition, bringing in independents, you know, to the extent they exist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they definitely exist. I think Walks is a great example of how they exist because, as you mentioned earlier, we're the third largest Democratic voting base block in Wisconsin, but we are the number one voting block of persuadable independent voters here in Waukesha County. But further to your question, I think it's a great thing because you're going to have more Democrats out there who are talking about the issues and building coalitions. And look, if you are a community organization who cares about a specific issue, it only made sense for you to try to cozy up with the Republicans who you knew were going to be in power. You didn't want to burn bridges. You didn't want to be on their crap list because we know Robin Voss loves his grudges. But now when you're looking at a district that's 50-50, you have a much better time talking to both sides, advocating for your issues, and really listening to a candidate who will support your issues from the get-go, and not hopefully maybe they'll be a little less bad if we support them. So I think there's going to be a lot of groups who have historically backed Republicans out of necessity will now be very much open-minded to seeing what candidates actually care about the issues we're fighting for. And that'll bring a lot of different coalitions, a lot of new money, a lot of different energy to these races that we haven't seen in Wisconsin in a long time.
I think that's a really, you know, an important observation. The fact that gerrymandered power is so centralized, it completely limits free discussion, and the fear factor just, you know, builds in. You know, it's just amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't have a specific example, but imagine you're, you know, a realtor association. Would you want to fight Robin Voss on an issue ever, knowing that he controls the legislature, and if you cross him, he will burn you down every chance he gets? Absolutely not. But now there's a real issue or a real possibility for all of these groups, from realtors to municipalities to LGBTs or immigration groups, can actually have honest discussions about issues and not have the looming threat of a supermajority Republican assembly holding them accountable for any choices they make or advocacy they have during the election.
The just before we go to break, if there's a central focus, central statement you'd want to make, what would it be in terms of the result of these new maps?
Look, it's game-changing. I think if you look for one word, game-changing is the word you're going to find.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here with the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We'll be right back.
Eagle 1490 AM.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Folks, we're here in the heart of Waukesha. We are here in the heart of the 82nd District, a district that hasn't had free and fair elections for years and years. And with the governor's new maps, folks, you're going to have a real election in Waukesha.
We sure are.
And I am here with Matt Moreno, who is the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Waukesha. And we're talking about the breath of fresh air, the new beginnings, a new day in Wisconsin. Actually, you could say, you know, there's a chance to go forward, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, but we got elections already scheduled. So,
sure do.
So, how do you see that, and what are the hot stories?
Yeah, I mean, so for very few voters in Wisconsin, tomorrow is election day. For us, we have elections in Brookfield and the Village of Waukesha, and a couple of small communities throughout Waukesha County, and that all kind of gears us up for a huge April election where we have school boards and city councils all across the county. And, you know, it's going to gear up to be another fight of a year because the WISRED Waukesha County Republican Party machine is already kind of going full motor with endorsements and financial support and postcards and staff on the ground. And they are not missing a beat. And, you know, we expect another $150,000, $200,000 investment from the Waukesha Republican Party to continue to try to bring extremists into our local government.
So we have new maps. New maps aren't going to take place until November.
Mm-hmm.
How do these new maps and this energy, how will that impact the April election?
Look, I think, you know, today alone, we have had over a dozen new volunteer signups on our website. Seen a huge amount of traffic coming to the website of people who are feeling hopeful for the first time in a long time. And all of those folks, we are going to get them engaged tomorrow. We're not waiting until April or May or June or July. We're getting them involved right away.
What's that webpage?
WaukeshaDems.org. Fully revamped site, great volunteer sign up. We actually just brought on our own volunteer organizer, paid staffer, named Amy Regner. She'll be reaching out to if you sign up. She's wonderful because you know what? We looked at what the Waukesha GOP was doing. And we had a big kind of heart-to-heart within the party of, ideally, in a perfect world, all of these races would be between parents who want to serve their school board, local folks who just want to figure out ways to best run their local community, and partisan politics really wouldn't have a role. That's kind of the idealistic view we've had for a very long time. But going on year three, year four, year five of the Waukesha Republicans buying seat after seat after seat after seat, and making us a national laughingstock, we had to fight back. We couldn't sit on the sidelines hoping for an idealistic world anymore. So we brought on Amy Regner, who's an experienced field organizer, great talent, and we are attacking these seats head on. And we are looking at who these Republicans, as using their own words, recruit, vet, and support. And we're going to be holding them accountable all across the county. And one of my, you know, there's two great examples of the type of people that these folks are recruiting. The first one, I won't use his name because he's still pending some charges, but he is a convicted felon who committed voter fraud after he got elected to the school board in a community he didn't live in. I know he's appealing. There's some other issues, so we'll try to keep his name out of it. But Heartland School District said he lived with his dad. He lived in a totally different community, got charged with felony voter fraud, and was found guilty on his first trial. The second one, which is actually going on today, the Waukesha Freeman broke the story about a Village of Waukesha supervisor who's running for his reelection, Michael Gorsetti. He doesn't live in his community anymore, and yet he wants to run and represent the Village of Waukesha when he doesn't even live there. These are the types of folks that they want to recruit and vet.
When you say they, you're talking
Michael, yeah.
But you're talking the MAGA.
Yeah,
WISRED.
The MAGA WISRED, okay. The bank rolling fundraising machine of the Waukesha Republican Party. They, you know, we always look for, like, how do you talk about differences? How do you highlight differences? And I think this is it. They don't care about the community. They don't care about the schools they're representing or the cities or villages. They care about conservative power. And so they are looking for the most extreme conservatives, regardless of where they live, and they are running them in those seats. And that's what we're up against. And so for us, it's going to be holding these folks accountable. Waukesha residents are tired of national stories embarrassing the city and the school district. Rather, it's banning books, banning pride songs, angering Miley Cyrus about a song and getting her tweeting about the Waukesha school board, firing teachers and going through litigation because of it. All of this keeps happening because of extremists who are being vetted, recruited, and elected by the Waukesha Republican Party. And now we're going to take the gloves off and fight back a little bit.
You know, we're talking about the schools. I read there was an incident at Arrowhead, right?
Yeah, very, very unfortunate incident, yeah.
Yeah. Tell the listeners about that, and how is that tied to this WISRED?
Yeah, I think it is. Let's start with what happened, then how I see it tied to this larger picture of WISRED. So there was a Snapchat story, which for those of you guys who don't know what Snapchat is, it's generally used by younger folks, where you take pictures and you send pictures to your friends and stories and other people can see them. and an Arrowhead High School student took a picture of a few black kids at a table and captioned the photo, the N-word table, and shared it on their story. It was seen by students and faculty, and obviously that is not okay to do. That's a horrible thing to say. It's a horrible thing to do. And the school put out their statement saying they're investigating and all of this, and they went through the normal hoops you have to go through when your school is being publicly embarrassed. The background as to how we get here is WISRED consistently for the last several years has attacked the idea of politicizing the schools. So things like safe space, things like educating about race and about sexuality and cultural differences are being just slashed. They are banning pride flags. They're banning discussions around differences like that. And they're making it political. So
yeah, let me say this. I think when you ban it, you open the door to hate.
Yes. The things we have seen and we've heard directly from high schoolers is that when the school boards target these issues, the bullying of these students ramps up indefinitely to the point that students move, students transfer other schools, or students drop out and go to homeschooling because they are no longer safe in their hallways.
Briefly, how does the Democratic Party of Waukesha, how do you address that in these April elections and November elections?
Yeah.
10 seconds.
We talk to the families about what a viable, inclusive alternative looks like.
Like, what's it mean, in other words, to have a multiracial democracy, right?
Exactly.
Matt Moreno, thank you so much. Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. We are here focused on making sure that Wisconsin moves forward. We have new maps. Keep hope alive, folks. See you soon.
News Talk for Homan, Onalaska, and of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump is looking to win his fourth straight primary season victory tonight over Nikki Haley in South Carolina. Haley vows to stay in the race, win or lose. ABC's Brittany Shepherd has more from Washington.
Trump has sparsely campaigned in South Carolina. By ABC News' count, Haley has held almost five times as many events. At a rally Friday, Haley told supporters that she believes and trusts in them to propel her into first place. But the voters haven't seemed to follow suit. Trump leads Haley in the state by nearly 30 points. And all eyes will be on just how much Haley can close that gap if polling ends up matching tonight's results. Brittany Shepherd, ABC News, Washington.
Large rallies in support of Ukraine in many capitals around the world today, particularly in Europe, where thousands have marched waving blue and yellow flags. Russian officials have given Alexei Navalny's body back to his mother following a week of stalling. This is ABC News. The U.S. has sent a lunar lander back to the moon for the first time since 1972. The company that built Odysseus says it got there and is communicating. It's the first commercial craft to ever land on the moon.
There is just one issue, says ABC's Alex Stone.
Odysseus landed as planned near the south pole of the moon. One hiccup, though. When it landed, its foot got stuck and it tipped over onto its side, and it stuck tipped over. Steve Ultimus, the CEO of Intuitive Machines, which built Odysseus, says it's still a success.
The majority of our payloads are all in view, and we are collecting science, and we've collected science along the way.
He says the solar arrays are still facing the sun, and the batteries are at 100%. Soon they plan to send back photos from the moon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
An investigation is underway to find out what caused a deadly military helicopter crash in northeast Mississippi. Governor Tate Reeves confirming both National Guardsmen on board were killed when their Apache helicopter went down during a training flight.